College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we talked about it for quite a while. We touched on a lot of different topics, infrastructure, improvements, road work, lighting, all kinds of sorts of projects that needed to get completed, most of which was accomplished. We are joined by one of the leaders of many, many teams and a lot of folks that worked hard each and every day to make sure that it happened, Michael Heck, President and CEO of GNO Inc. Michael, let me just say congratulations to you, your team, and the thousands upon thousands of volunteers that worked really, really hard to put our best foot forward, and it paid off, and the execution, although maybe not flawless, was near flawless, and things went really well.
Things went, I think, far better and greater overall than you or I, or you know, anybody who's optimistic or understand what's going on the ground, could have realistically hoped for 9 months ago when we started. From Uber drivers to Roger Goodell, who I chatted with briefly, to the internet, which was like almost uniformly positive. I think that we can say objectively and without exaggeration that this was the best Super Bowl week ever. I think we've set a new bar in terms of this celebration, and I'm just so grateful to the hundreds, the dozens of organizations, the hundreds and thousands of people. They say there's no I in team. There's no I in New Orleans either. It was an awesome team effort, and in the last few seconds, it came together, man. So I'm happy. I'm stunned. I'm not even tired. I'm just kind of amazed.
Yeah. You know, Michael, I thanked everybody, congratulated all. And the other day in a monologue, I pointed out that New Orleanians themselves played a very important role. And there are a series of anecdotal stories of visitors here that were so thankful of the way that they were received by everybody in the city.
There's no question. Whenever you talk to anybody, from, again, a visitor to people with the NFL, it's the genuine warmth, the authenticity, the pride of place that everybody here feels that makes it fundamentally different from doing the event in almost any other city. I was talking to somebody who's been to the game in L.A., and they said L.A. is so big and so transitory that when they have the Super Bowl there, you know, it feels like there's a big game going on around the stadium, but the rest of the city just kind of continues business as usual. When the game happens in New Orleans, and particularly this one, it felt like this perfect amalgamation of Mardi Gras and the Super Bowl, and it was just a joyful celebration all week that I think visitors and residents all pretty much participated in. So, yeah, the vibe was, as the kids say, the vibe was outstanding. No cap.
Now, there's one area that you did let us down on. I don't know if you're aware
of this. No, I mean, there are many, but tell me which one particularly, well, now that everybody's listening.
Patrick Mahomes didn't get the memo.
My God.
We needed a better game. Let me quote these stats to you. So at the peak, which was right around maybe the first 25% of the second quarter of the game, we had 137.7 million viewers of that game. It dropped precipitously to 123.7 million viewers for an average of 127.7. Had they played just a little bit, we probably would have broke records.
I mean, you know, here's how I interpret it. There are a couple of things going on. One is Philly is just, they're a nasty team. I mean, between their line and Hurts and Barkley and their defense, When we saw what they did, you know, in the championship before this game, you know, they're a bad bunch of men out there. And then I think that what happened with KC is that they've got a magical quarterback, a legendary coach, but the reality is that they're kind of thin, and they got, you know, they kind of pulled it out of the hat a few games this year, and I think that their luck just ran out. But there's something else. There's something else. And I think it's ironic, or maybe fitting. So one of Taylor Swift's most well-known and liked songs is Karma is a God. And I think when you go out there on national TV and say that New Orleans food is not very good and you don't like it, when we know that there's three things that we're objectively, like, really good at, food, music, and Mardi Gras, you're the universe. What was that guy's boat, Sadiq Khan's Kismet? The universe speaks back to you. And I don't care what type of clown outfit or glittery 1970s thing from Studio 54 Kelsey wore, he probably should have kept his thoughts about jambalaya to himself for the good of the game.
You just can't help some people, right?
No, you know, FYFO, Kelsey, sorry.
So you and I talked about this a lot, the aftermath of Super Bowl. You know, you come off this high, and there were some things that did not get completed. And so when do you guys kind of reestablish your committee, and have y'all done that already? I mean, we're only a few days after the Super Bowl. I figure you might give them a week off, but, you know, what are the plans?
Well, I'm happy to say that we had our regular scheduled meeting this morning over at City Hall on the ninth floor, chaired by Joe Threat, attended by about 24+ organizations, about, I don't know, maybe 50 to 70, probably over 75 people if you include the Zoom, and we're now rolling into Mardi Gras. And I think that everybody has seen that this works. Everybody has seen that if we focus on a goal and become problem solvers collectively, that we can be world class. And I give a ton of credit to Joe, to Gilbert, to the city, the state, everybody, that they're determined just to keep up this rhythm. So, you know, I guess we had a couple days off, but I think the thing is that, you know, this winning is fun. And now that we've seen we can do it, I think that people are not enervated. They're energized. They want to get back into it, and they want to now fix the next set of roads and, frankly, identify the next set of 500 projects. So there are a few things that didn't get done before this. There's a little bit of Iberville behind the Hard Rock site. We didn't get the street signs up in the French Quarter. Those will go up. But then we're going to go on to the, you know, parts of the city that didn't get taken care of because of the Super Bowl, and then we'll have Jazz Fest, and then we'll have Essence. And I think that at least through the end of this administration, and I hope beyond that, we're going to continue this rhythm because it's working. And frankly, it's enjoyable. It's great getting the good feedback. It's everybody is thriving on the positive recognition for a job well done. And so, we're already back at it.
If you look on, you know, Instagram and X and others, you see a lot of really positive comments by folks that visited here, and that's always, good to see and good to hear as well. Unsolicited, just saying thank you. We had a great time. We really appreciate your hospitality.
Yeah, it is. It's been really something to see the quotes on online, and you know, some of them have been from, you know, I guess standard sources like Sports Illustrated saying the Super Bowl should be back here in 2029 and every year after that. That was Albert Breer from Sports Illustrated. You've got folks like Cardi B, you know, food critic and sometime rapper, saying her quote is like, "Damn, everything tastes good here." You've got my favorite though. I mean, there is some stuff kind of not safe for work on Instagram, but my favorite is this woman, and she's walking down Bourbon Street, and she goes, "What did y'all do? It smells like Febreze." And We're going to get, by the way, we're getting Sidney Torres on the show next week. We could tell, he'll maybe reveal his secret, or he won't, like his, Coke won't reveal their ingredients, yeah, but
his secret sauce.
Yeah, and then look, I was able to talk to Roger Goodell for a little while, and you know, he was clearly thrilled by what he saw, which meant he was thrilled by the feedback he was getting from the owners. And so when everybody from the Uber drivers to the Instagrams to the NFL leadership is saying this was extraordinary, I think you have to sit back and just accept it and say thank you that the combination of the physical structure of the city with its density combined with the cultural authenticity, which is increasingly in demand in a kind of homogenous, you know, world, and then the fact that we do have a muscle memory in this state and this city for putting on big events. We're just really good at it, including the residents. Like, they know what to do. You've got to help the visitors. You got to pick up the trash. You got to, you know, offer people assistance who are in trouble. And you put that all together, and you compare this to what they're going to have next year in San Francisco, where the game is 50 miles away in Santa Clara. I mean, that's like a two-hour drive. And this is the right way to do it, and I do think that we're going to get the Super Bowl now. It's something in the single digits because it works for literally everybody who is a part of the event.
Michael, one of the things that hasn't been talked about a lot, it has, you know, been out there a little bit. So the governor hosted, Governor Jeff Landry hosted a series of meetings with business folks that were coming here from all over the world. And it seems as though, I mean, I've heard, you know, a little bit of information here, a little bit of information there. Folks really enjoyed that, that the state kind of went out of their way. Susan Bourgeois, who you know, she's been on this show many times, in leveraging this event for economic development for the state of Louisiana. And I'm beginning to hear more and more about some of the success stories. And it looks like they're working on a lot of things right now.
Yeah, this was unprecedented for a Super Bowl in New Orleans. And I think unprecedented at this scale for any Super Bowl, where the state set up the Louisiana Now Pavilion and used it as a headquarters, essentially, for events. I had the somewhat remarkable honor of doing a fireside chat with Governor Landry and 50 Cent, who zoomed in because he had a man cold, for everybody doing interviews. One morning, Susan Bourgeois did 27 interviews over, like, yeah, 2 hours. For having thank you events like the governor's gridiron, for private entities having their parties like LCMC. And I think it did a couple of things. I think specifically it gave us a chance to showcase Louisiana and to market to people, to sell to people in a space outside of just the Superdome. But I think more than that, it sends a signal that Louisiana is serious about and is committed to having business relationships at the highest level. And that's really important because when CEOs and boards are making these decisions about where to invest, where to relocate, where to expand, so much of that is about confidence in the relationship. And I think if we can continue in this vein for another 7+ years under the current leadership structure, we can fundamentally change the way Louisiana is perceived by the business community, by the site selection community. And that change in perception is almost as important, maybe some people would say more important, than even the changes in reality and things like our tax code.
And they had a little, you know, card that they were handing out that, you know, it says, tell us what we need to know, the Louisiana opportunity. And it talks about all of the successes, both recent and historic successes of the state, which I thought it was a really nice touch because in fact, I read through it about 3 or 4 times and I learned things that, you know, and you and I talk about this every week that I had no idea, you know, was actually existed. When you talk about the amount of pipeline that we have, natural gas pipeline in this state, 50,000 miles of natural gas pipelines, enough to wrap around the earth twice. You know, so when you talk about infrastructure to move natural gas, I can't imagine there are too many states that have more than we have.
No, it's, you know, this is something that we started actually way back after Katrina with GNO Inc. We called them STARS, Statistics, Testimonies, Awards, and Rankings. And when one would come in, we just put it out there because people just needed to know these facts. And then we would collect it on a one-pager and give it to people. So now Susan and LED have taken that to the next level with this card that lists out these facts like every manned spaceflight since Apollo has been built in Louisiana, or we export the majority of the LNG around the world, or the recent one that just came out that we were best in the nation. This one just came out, it's not on there. We were best in the nation in lack of reduction in performance due to COVID. We suffered the least. And in other words, we performed the best in terms of a grade school performance. We have to get these things out there because the brand of Louisiana is a double-edged sword. People love us, but they love us for our food, music, and Mardi Gras. They don't love us as a place to risk their capital or invest their company. And so to kind of put a bit of a crass analogy on it, what we have to do is convince people that Louisiana and New Orleans, that we're not just a hot date, we're marriage material, you know? We want to, right? I mean,
I don't know. I have this vision of you saying this to, you know, a major international corporate head, you know, head in a meeting. We're not just great dating material. We're not a hot date. We're great marrying material.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. You got to understand if you're talking to like a group from Chicago. You know, they'll get it. I've tried these jokes with like Scandinavian companies and and they just give you that look, and you know, they don't know if it's that their English is not so good or if this is just something they've never encountered before in this setting. And so yeah, there is something of a cultural appropriateness that I've got to keep working on here with the dad jokes.
So there is a move afoot. LED announced a new state-backed venture fund and a research institute focused on artificial intelligence. It seems as though we want to get out in front of that curve, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, so I'm so happy that Susan Bourgeois and that Josh Flegg, as the first chief innovation officer for the state, is doing this. By setting up this Innovation Institute and starting a new division called Louisiana Innovation, or LA.io for short, putting in funding, creating an institute that's going to be the center for AI, what we're doing is we are staking out our place at the beginning of this wave. And I think it's very fair to compare this with what we did not do back in the 80s. And back in the 80s, when other governors and other states were going to visit Mr. Toyota or visit BMW in Germany, we didn't do that. I can't verify this, but I understand that one of the things is that Governor Foster didn't like to fly. So we just didn't do it. And the result of that echoed for a couple of generations, because there's no reason whatsoever that Louisiana should not have auto manufacturing. I mean, objectively, we're good at manufacturing. We import the rubber. We import the steel. But what happened is that we didn't form the relationships. We didn't take the first step. So as a result, every other state around us has combustion and now electric auto manufacturing. So the fact that the state is leaning forward, starting with the governor and the relationship with Meta, and then we had Google at the governor's pavilion, means that we're going to be in on this wave, and we're not going to look back in regret over the next couple generations about this. It's a big deal.
Absolutely, no doubt. All right, we got to get to a break. We'll come back with our special guest. We're visiting with Michael Heck, President and CEO of GNO Inc.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Stay with us, folks. Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Michael Heck, President and CEO of GNO Inc. And Michael, we have a special guest today.
That's right. Our guest today is Evan Holmes. He is the general manager of Our House, the Superdome, which was a starring character in this historic 59th game. And I'd love to hear from him about how we got here and how on earth we did so well during the game. It was flawless.
Absolutely. The Caesars Superdome, the centerpiece of the Super Bowl for sure. Evan, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Noel. Morning, Michael. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, we're still catching our breath over here, but excited to be on the other side of Sunday, that's for sure.
So, Evan, let me ask you, I want if you would just do this for a moment. I don't know that people realize just how big the facility is. If you could just give a few stats about the size of the Superdome, how big it is, how many acres it consumes, things like that.
Sure. Well, the Superdome itself is about 2 million square feet, and that's kind of an abstract number, and it's hard to kind of contemplate that. But if you think about the dome and the era in which it was built, and you look at other facilities built around that time, like the Astrodome, the Metrodome, and others, those buildings are all either gone as a parking lot or they're mothballed or not around. And those buildings were all built to be about 1 million square feet. And that was kind of the calling card back when this facility was built, was that essentially the commentary was, I want the Astrodome to fit inside this Superdome, which it could. And even new buildings, aside from some of the outliers, if you look at what they've done in SoFi, which is about 2.5 million square feet, and AT&T Stadium in Dallas, it's a little bit larger than 2 million square feet. Most of the newer facilities you see around the NFL, be it U.S. Bank, be it what they're contemplating up in Chicago and what they're building in Nashville and in Buffalo, we're all around that 2 million square feet number. So the building itself is kind of right in line, even though it's heading into its 50th year with even the newest facilities in the NFL. But it's more than just the Superdome, as we all know. We have a 52-acre campus here that includes an NBA arena right across the street, obviously with the Smoothie King Center, Champion Square, kind of our urban amphitheater adjacent to the building. We have attached parking garages, and we're right next to an active commercial office building, Benson Tower. So even though we have those 52 acres and we have this 2 million square feet and we have an arena across the street, anyone that was here for the Super Bowl or anyone that tried to get around the Superdome during the Super Bowl period saw that we actually expanded beyond our traditional 52-acre campus, given how large the Super Bowl has become with all of the hospitality and all of the pregame activations. The perimeter, as we call it, the secured perimeter, actually expanded, believe it or not, or those that have seen it believe it, but those that haven't may not believe it. We actually expanded the perimeter beyond Poydras Street, kind of under the Claiborne overpass into the LSU lots over there by the medical district, and took over three large parking lots for a lot of hospitality. So it was an expanded perimeter, even though we have a pretty large campus to begin with. But being able to do that was a challenge for our friends at the NFL. We worked very closely with them to help them orchestrate that. But being able to have that event is reliant upon our ability to have the space, but also being able to put things in places that they typically don't, well, we don't have for a normal event.
So, Evan, how do I say this? You know, you're in the building all the time. You're in the bowels of the building, you know, daily. The big game, it's coming up. You're there on Sunday afternoon. What was going through your mind?
Well, I couldn't sleep the night before. I was here till about midnight the night before because there's always something on the list, right? And, right. You know, Being part of the management team here and working closely every day with the NFL for basically 2 years, I was part of the group that was in the NFL command post. and that is the nerve center for the event. Not too dissimilar than the command post stood up for Mardi Gras and other major events in the city. This was the NFL core group. So my call time there was about 7 o'clock in the morning, Super Bowl Sunday, and I think I got to the building at 5 o'clock because I couldn't sleep. So I was already on my third coffee by the time I think we got to 7 o'clock. But going through my mind is, you know, what else is there to do? What haven't we thought about? Is there something that we missed? And of course, thankfully, we couldn't come up with anything because, you know, an event like that, everything is magnified, as we know from recent experiences. But it's just making sure that the plan was to the execution phase. Right here for us, it's very simple. It's plan, communicate, execute. And we've done an excellent job planning internally, but also with our partners, and not just with the NFL, but all of their third parties and all of our friends across the city. The communication was clean. We had a very straightforward chain of command, and it was to the point where eventually they're going to kick that ball off. And all of the conversations lead to that point. And so we were cautiously optimistic, sitting there in my seat next to my director of event services, and he and I kind of looked at each other and said, all right, ready or not, here we go. So unfortunately, everything went about as well as it could have gone. So it's one thing
bring
to have
it on
the calendar,
we're ready.
Another thing to be sitting there. That's it.
So is it fair to say, I mean, the Dome underwent $500 million makeover, right, in renovations and everything else. Is it fair to say that the Dome, the Super Bowl will test a facility like no other event?
Absolutely. And yes, $560 million to be exact. Yes, it is an exercise in space planning and utilization. What we do for a Saints game, what we do for a concert, what we do for a Sugar Bowl. Yes, we test the limits of what the building can do, but with the Super Bowl, it's just exponentially greater because there's just more activity. There's more programming, be it, you know, the white glove program where they're managing the manager or the owners and the sponsors, an elevated experience. There's a nerve center for those people, the cybersecurity and the IT folks, they're running out of an operation. You got a large merchandise. You just kind of go down the list of all the things that we normally have for an event, multiply it by 10 and give them a space where they need to work. And every nook and cranny of this building had something going on. And there were times I'd walk the concourse and one day that was a corner or a corridor. And I come back the next day and it's a temporary built office space where it just kind of popped up. So it stressed every part of the building's ability to accommodate just stuff is the best way I can explain it. But again, it goes back to what we mentioned earlier, those 2 million square feet. You know, if we had 1.9 million square feet, it may have been a little bit harder conversation. So, it allows us also to see, you know, what haven't, you know, when you're around long enough and you see it every day, sometimes you may not look at things the same way as someone coming in fresh may do it. So, you know, I would tell our people, look, you're around the best of the best. And if they're going to a place and saying, hey, this is an opportunity for us to do something new, be in their hip pocket and learn from what they're doing, because we may be able to co-op some of this and leverage it for other event activity or other things. So, yeah, it stressed the building, but it also allowed us to kind of be a part of a fresh look. And we're going to take as much of that as we can, and we're going to apply that moving forward.
Any kind of behind-the-scene moments that really stick out in your mind, that, you know, decisions having to be made on the fly?
Well, there's always plenty of those in real time. You know, what's interesting about the Super Bowl in the NFL, as you can imagine, it is very buttoned up. And, you know, they have this document. I took it home to my son because he was kind of interested, and he's 10 years old and he's learning about the business and he's just really inquisitive with it. And we call it the minute by minute report. And it is probably 20 pages of very small font Excel file every minute what is happening in the building. And it is everything from team buses arriving to here's when we open this club to here's where the lights go down for the Super Bowl or the intro. And every single one of those points are part of a very tight timeline for various groups. And inevitably, things change as they do. And you do your best to react. But look, there were plenty of times where things kind of popped up and kind of looked at each other and says, is that Is that a thing, or is that with a big, with a capital T, or is that a thing with a lowercase t? And you want the lowercase t, not the big, the big T. But we had a lot of the lowercase t's, and we were able to navigate. And look, that's just communication, contingency planning. We expect this. If not, here's how we're going to handle it. We have strong leadership here. And, you know, I was on the radio or on the call saying, hey, got to pivot on this. Can we make it happen? And every single time it was yes, and our people were able to make it happen. So nothing stands out, because if it did stand out, probably a lot of other people would know about it, which we like it that way if it doesn't. So it's just a natural progression of an event. You kind of weave through it, and, you know, you rely on your leadership. We have great leadership here, and we were able to make it happen.
Obviously, everyone believes here that we can put on this show, the Super Bowl, better than anybody else, right? But the important party to have a similar feeling is the NFL. What have you heard from them over this past week?
Well, it has been overwhelmingly positive. And, you know, we were talking to our team both internally and our partners, you know, the Sports Foundation, the host committee, and the great job they did. And kind of internally, we kind of positioned it as a relay race, right? This is a long week, and it's just, they're passing the baton from one event to another, and you're getting closer and closer and closer to Super Bowl Sunday. And eventually we get the baton, and we're the anchor leg. And by the time we got the baton, because of all the other work that has happened on the infrastructure side, on the party planning side, and all of the other stuff, we were so far ahead. Back to, I think I heard Michael say how universally it was viewed as an excellent Super Bowl, and don't ever say this publicly, but, you know, I think it was the absolute best ever. But by the time we got that baton, we were so far ahead of the competition. It was really just us against the clock, you know, going for the world record type of thing. And we're going to run straight through that tape and make it as far of a distance between us and the second place as we can. And that's where we were. And I mentioned that command post. And as you could imagine, there's 85, 90 people up there all kind of working on things, very active. And I'll never forget, we sat there towards the end, the confetti had been popped and everything had kind of settled, trophies given away, everybody did their speeches. And, you know, the NFL point person, the person that kind of ran the show for the NFL, kind of quieted everybody down and said a few words. But at the end, he said, look, there's no such thing as a perfect event, but this was as damn close to a perfect event as we'd ever had. And that was something that resonated with us and our team. And that's when you kind of look your colleagues in the eye and shake their hand and say, we did it. So from that standpoint, we felt really, really good on our end. And we know the rest of the show leading up to that from the city standpoint was excellent. So long way of saying, I think we very much distance ourselves from any other Super Bowl.
And there's no rest for the weary, because I understand y'all have a press conference tomorrow with a big announcement about a concert tour. Is that true?
We do a big announcement tomorrow.
You want to give us a hint?
Not at liberty to share yet, because that would ruin it. Any hint would be very apparent. So I'm not coy enough to do that. But in addition to that, look, you know, we were joking with our people.
Well, don't tell Michael Heck, because he is. So.
Yeah. Well, there you go. But in addition to that, we said, look, we have two Pelicans. We got a Pelicans game tonight. We got a Pelicans game tomorrow.
Wow.
Got a sold out Mary J. Blige show on Friday. We got Endymion rolling in here on March 1st. They're back home in the dome. So we said, look, take your 10-minute satisfaction break, pat yourself on the back, and then get back to work. And we'll celebrate this when the time is right. But, yeah, no rest for the weary. But we're excited about the announcement tomorrow.
Is it true that some of the cabling that was brought in, it will take like 30 days to get it out? And I don't know who told me that. We were talking down at the media row. And someone mentioned about the cabling that they knew how many miles of cabling was in that place. It was like crazy.
It's unbelievable. I mean, I'm surprised you can't hear the beeping on the phone as I look out my window. I mean, I look out my window and they still have the
Fox Sports flag
hanging over. Yeah, so there's the Fox Sports flag still hanging over their offices. So the teams are gone, the press is gone, the private jets are gone. But you know, I've got forklifts and trucks, and it's very active on our campus still, and they've got a few more days until they're done. So we may be done with Super Bowl, but we're still dealing with them moving out, and we're trying to manage
Absolutely.
That too. So a lot of work
Evan Holmes, let me just say congratulations to you, your team, job well done, city, you know, well represented by your organization. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And it doesn't happen without the support of our team and those frontline employees. I got to tip my cap to them. They don't see me. They don't see all the NFL folks. They see the ushers, our ticket takers, our housekeeping staff, and those are the ones that make it go. So if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be having this conversation. So we're going to take care of them as we get through this.
Absolutely.
But I always want to make sure those folks are recognized.
Got to get to a break. Thank you so much. We will be right back with Michael Heck. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Michael Heck, President and CEO of G&O Inc. That was a great update, great report. Obviously, Evan Holmes and his crew really buttoned up, as he pointed out, that the NFL were, but we were as well.
Oh, yeah, they were good. I just texted Evan. I said that, you know, it's kind of like he was Saquon and Doug Thornton was Jalen Hurts. I mean, they were a great one too, and I also have to give them a lot of gratitude, because when I was voluntold to take this job about 9 months ago by the governor, they were the first ones I went to see, and I sat down with Doug and Evan. And I said, "All right, guys, what do we do?" And they immediately shared all of their plans and feedback and models from the 2013 Super Bowl. Suggested that we hire a daily project manager, and so they really kind of paid it forward into this one and gave us got us off on the right foot. And they've been folks that we've gone to not just for Super Bowl issues, but for general guidance throughout the process. So yeah, big high five to the whole team over there. They're, you know, real leaders, not just of the Superdome, but of the city.
So what's next for the Dome?
You know, so I mean, the Dome is going to roll for us. What we're going to be focusing on is Mardi Gras, then Jazz Fest, then Essence as kind of the next goalpost for us working. I think we're going to keep up this rhythm with the city where we have these weekly meetings. We're going to, you know, set up the list of the next 500 projects. And I hope that we just institutionalize this. You know, I was given a speech at the Pavilion the other day during the week, and shockingly, I was over-caffeinated, and the line just came to me that I just didn't titrate right. The line came to me, you know, we should never again have to suffer the indignation of mediocrity. It's a lot of syllables, but I think it's right. We should never treat ourselves so poorly. We now see that we can be literally the best in the world, and this is the standard that we should hold ourselves to all the time, every day. We can do it, and not only that, it's a lot of fun.
Success breeds success, right?
Yeah, all the cliches are true.
That is so true. As always, Michael, thank you so much for joining us. Michael Heck, President and CEO of G&O Inc. And again, congratulations to you. Job well done. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Likewise, Newell, thank you for all your support all these months.
All righty, folks, we will be right back. Stay with us. Folks, we're going to be carrying the Kellen Moore press conference tomorrow live at 11:30. Bobby, Steve, and Nowak will be there, and they will give their lead-up commentary to that press conference, and then we'll visit with them afterwards as well. Another exciting moment in the lifeline of the New Orleans Saints. Kellen Moore is going to be announced as the new head coach of our team. When we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with UNO Department of Economics and Finance Director Dr. Ali Bustamante. We will talk about Doge, talk about Gaza, and talk about a number of other issues at the national level. Stay with us.